Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. Today, I am joined by David Gilbert. He is an executive coach, author of The Alchemical Journey, a guide for high performers who want more than just success. He helps leaders transmute self-doubt into power, fear into creative fuel, and trauma into gold. In this conversation, we'll dive into the art of personal alchemy, what it means to go beyond high performance, and how to uncover the gold within yourself. So David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm grateful to be here.
Yay. Happy to have you. So I know I shared a little bit about your background just now, but do you want to get into just a little bit more about who you are and how you came to be where you are today?
Yeah, I'm an executive coach at Novus Global. We help Fortune 500 companies, professional athletes, just high-performing leaders go beyond high performance. And awesome. I like to have fun and say, I help people transmute their inner and outer gold into lead. So previous to this, I've been really focused on the alchemical journey and what it looks like to transmute that inner lead into gold. And now going beyond high performance to me, which we use like creating a impossible vision. So that dream that almost feels heavy, it's so scary, it feels heavy, and turning that into gold. So that's
amazing. Well, do you want to elaborate on that a little bit? Like what exactly that means, the alchemy of it all?
Yeah. Alchemy is the art of transformation. So it's been this funny thread that I learned from going for things and then crashing and burning. The story really starts in 2020.
Okay.
It was my dream when my mom asked me, what do you want to do as a kid? When I was little, I can remember being in a car and I was like, live by the beach and open my own business. And I live in San Diego. So I was like, okay, by the beach. Finally, like the idea came up for a business and it was December 2019. And then I came up with this idea, meditation supply store, and then in OB, like as a website, and then actual physical brick and mortar store, meditation manifestation supply store. And I signed the lease January 2020, all in on my own business. Family already said, not the best time. Hey, David, you got a 2-year-old and another one in the oven. Well, not me.
Oh, well.
wife, but.
Bun in the oven.
Yeah. And I went for it. I didn't listen to them. I went for it. But, you know, worst timing in our history to try to open a store. And it wasn't considered a mandatory store or something that needed to be open in California. Right. So just after a year and a half, I got out of the lease early. But the beauty during that process, like going for the dream, crashing and burning, led me to realize like, oh, my unique gifts, my zone of genius isn't trying to manage a team and build a franchise and like be a CEO of 100 or 1,000 people. Like my gifts is because I started coaching along that time too. I got my first certification and it was like, oh, like 1-to-1 is my sweet spot. Right. So it was this going through the fire of transformation of opening a business and you know, navigating all the things and then realizing, oh, that's my sweet spot. And then there's another story I can tell at some point of I bought The Idiot's Guide to Alchemy and realized alchemy is part of my story. So it's a little bit of alchemy right there.
Did you read the book The Alchemist in school ever?
Not in school. Not until I got older.
So we actually read it. I'm pretty sure my freshman year of high school, it was like one of the required books. Yeah. But I feel like we read it at a time when I was like, you know, a child essentially. So I didn't really understand the meaning behind it and like the true meaning of that book. And it is like a really powerful book. But, you know, I read it at the wrong time. I think like I was like 14 when we read it in school. Seeds,
but at the time, you're like, I don't care. I just want to go do
exactly. Oh, homework. Like we didn't care about the meaning of it exactly. But that's so interesting. And you have a background in marketing as well, correct?
Yes. I graduated from Art Center College of Design and Advertising. So I was working with health and fitness companies in the marketing department.
Very nice. So I also have a marketing background and I do it currently, but I also had like a similar experience to you. I mean, I'd love to hear kind of like what inspired you to transform from doing marketing or doing that like 9-to-5 type of job into what you're doing now with the coaching. So I know you mentioned like it was kind of just the story of COVID, but did you have like one spark or one moment that like changed everything?
Let's see.
Or was it just like a gradual process, gradual transformation?
It was a gradual transformation. The marketing, I had two times landing a dream job in a marketing department. And then them having to cut the marketing department. And then I was
And laughing because the same thing happened to me.
Okay. There we go. So partly like is the universal, like the catalyst, right?
Yeah.
Where the I work for the American Council on Exercise, and that's somewhere where like people work 10 years. So it came out of left field, even for like the whole business.
Wow.
So that was the catalyst that kind of led to, you know, this little bit of a gap. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go all in on the business.
Amazing.
But it's been a trickling effect, but there was a moment when I bought The Idiot's Guide to Alchemy that like that clicked fully for me. I was like, oh, this is my dharma. Like, I know what I'm here to do for the rest of my life. But I could see hindsight. Yeah. It was thinking I have the thing, having the thing taken away, going for the thing crashing and burning. And then from that, like finally emerging.
Amazing. Love that. Yeah, I've gone through something similar just in the last year as well. It's a long story, but I went through like a very hard breakup. I was with someone for 7 years. I moved countries, been through like some crazy stuff, some trauma. Then I also like, I've always worked in marketing, like 9-to-5 type of roles. And then I was laid off. This is now becoming increasingly common, especially with AI. And just like, it's a very weird, unprecedented time in the workforce right now. But I also just took it as a sign from the universe, from God, whatever you want to call it, that this just wasn't what I was meant to do. And I never really loved it. And I'm good at it. And I do, there are parts of it that I enjoy, but doing the 9-to-5, like being a cog in the machine, I felt like exactly like I wasn't living my purpose and I wasn't really helping the world and like sharing my gifts with the world by just doing, you know, being a robot basically. So yeah. I had a very similar experience, and I actually study Kabbalah. I don't know if you know any of like the Kabbalistic principles. It's just like universal law, a lot of it. And a lot of it is just philosophy. But they talk about this concept of like your tikkun, which is basically, they say it's like the one main thing that you need to work on, like your soul's purpose on this earth is to work on this. It's like your soul's correction, basically. And we all have it. And we all have like something that we need to work on. And in order for like our true purpose here to be revealed, we're going to go through challenges and hardships. And they're all ultimately like showing us our true purpose and what we're here to do. So I just took this all as a sign that like, wow, I'm not supposed to just be a cog in the machine. I'm supposed to do something else. And I think a lot of the times pain can be a huge motivator. Like when something really hard happens to us, it like we wouldn't be motivated otherwise to change, right? Like we're all just kind of stuck in the rat race, stuck in the matrix, if you will, like doing the same thing forever and ever. And when something really just jolts us or like shocks us into change, a lot of the time it's pain, right? Like going through something really painful, in my opinion, can be a huge motivator. So I just took it all as like a sign that it wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. So it sounds kind of similar to everything you've been through.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been my own experience. And I'm hearing, you know, it's so easy in the golden handcuffs.
Yeah.
You know, I have these like unique gifts. And at the same time, like those unique gifts have to be developed over time. And it's by choosing to go into the pain, or I just like to have fun and call it lead, like going into that portal or just like going into it head first, like a stormy cloud. That's how you get the gold on the other side. Otherwise, you're just going to separate, or you're going to like the people, you know, no guilt or shame that like are in the golden handcuffs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just going to do this in a way to because it's providing for my family and comfortable and society says, my parents said, just get a good job and like live that.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, beautiful. And then there's a part that you sometimes think you're doing the right thing. If you're stuck in this filter of right and wrong versus going for the thing internally that might make absolutely no sense. Yeah. But when you go for that, that's when your gifts start to be expressed in the world. And it's like a flower blossoming. And then if you blossom, like you give so many more gifts and like, you know, helping others and like, and the reward fulfillment for yourself by doing that.
Yeah.
So it seems more selfish sometimes to go for those things, but actually that's the like selfless route because you'll have more to give others.
Yeah, it's so true. Like the more we receive, the more we're able to give. And it's a cycle. And like, ultimately, we receive this good so that we can give it to others and share it with others. Yeah, so true. Amazing. Well, for listeners who may not know you yet, can you share a little bit just about that journey that led you from marketing into coaching and transformation?
Yeah. So I could go back to my father passed away suddenly at the age of 11.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The journey I've been now, I've realized it made me ask two questions, a little bit unconscious. one, I was aware of like what makes life worth living. And number two, this has been like an underlying unconscious thread. Like, why is life so painful? So I'd say that was kind of the catalyst of the work I do. And then early college time, you know, going into the workforce was definitely the dark night of the soul for me. I was just going to school. I was isolated and lonely. And part of this tattoo I got on my sleeve was going to be Saint Michael killing the demon underneath.
Oh, wow.
Except I drew up in a way where I put a knight helmet. I like customized it to myself. And then underneath wasn't a demon, but it was Freddy Krueger, because that's what I named what felt like a monster in my head. That was just the inner critic and like would come in with negative thoughts and like steal presence and joy. So I made a declaration. I was living in Pasadena going to school at the time. I was like, I made a declaration. I drew this up. Like, I'm going to get it as a tattoo that I'm going to defeat this.
Amazing.
And I go into the tattoo shop. And like show him like, yeah, I want to get on my arm so I could see it every day and like be reminded. And he looks at the drawing. He looks at the my forearm and like the sword is up high, like, you know, going down for the, I guess, the kill shot. He's like, you know what? It's not going to look that good. Like the way that the sword is up, like on your forearm, it's going to look bent. Like actually it'll look so bad. Like I won't even put my name on it.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, I just mustered up the courage to go in and like make this declaration. But the beautiful thing was I went back home and a little bit of time, I meditated on it. And then I got the vision what I got today. So for the people watching, or I guess the listeners, it's a knight. It's kind of hard to see sideways, but it's a knight standing tall and his hands are on top of the sword and the shield's on the ground. And instead of a Freddy Krueger, there's a dragon that's 10 to 100 times bigger, a black dragon. So I was like, okay, I'm going with it. And I got the tattoo. And then a little bit after that, I got my pilot's license, because every man in my family has had the pilot's license, the Gilbert's crop dusters. So I got wings, pilot's license. And then later I wanted to get this drawing of a woman slowly turning into a skull to just like acknowledge mortality. Right. And the life's short. So when I went to that tattoo artist, it slowly turned into a Dia de los Muertos tattoo. And then there's red roses in her hair. And then there's one white rose in the middle.
Wow.
And to go back, this was the moment after going through the whole, you know, getting let go from the marketing positions, then opening my own business, and then that crashing and burning, and then getting into coaching. I was sitting in my office here, and I had bought The Idiot's Guide to Alchemy. I did not know much about alchemy. I've been into spiritual stuff, you know, for a while, but not alchemy specific. Yeah. And I start reading it, and I get about halfway, and then there's this chapter on the three phases of spiritual alchemy. And the first phase is the black phase, and it's represented by a black dragon.
Oh, wow.
This is like the shadow work. When you get to know the unconscious force of chaos that lives within the universe, that lives within our unconscious, right? Kind of our unconscious patterns. And you can't defeat the dragon. Like we can't defeat Mother Nature and the force of Mother Nature, right? So all you could do is stand up confidently with your shield down and be there with it. Same goes for negative thoughts, right? If you try to fight, I know, if you try to fight the negative thoughts and kill the Freddy Krueger, like he only gets more powerful. So it's like being a knight in front of a kingdom. Like, is this thought worthy of entering my kingdom? Oh no, that's a bad thought. You know, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Okay, let it go. And then I was reading it. I was like, oh wow, and it didn't really click. And then it talked about the second phase of alchemy. And this is like the enlightenment. This is the moment which is represented by a white rose, which is the white rose. And this is when you get to know your highest essence.
Amazing.
And then there's the third phase of alchemy, represented by a red rose. And this is, as you've gone through the process, now this is when everything starts to integrate. But in alchemy, they use a lot of different symbolism. But this is also when the inner king and inner queen, which one way to say is the inner masculine and inner feminine, are, I'm careful to say burnt, but like almost killed.
Fused.
Purified. Oh, okay. Purified first and then fused. Mm-hmm. And then that gives birth to the philosopher's stone or child. So this was blank right in the middle. And I was like, whoa. Because when I went to go get the tattoo, we just had a lady at the tattoo shop like be the model for the hand and just like hold the hair. And I was always going to get it filled in black. And then I was like, I know exactly what goes there. The philosopher's stone. And it was just this total break your brain moment of like, holy guacamole, my tattoo sleeve tells the three phases of alchemy exactly.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm here to do.
Wow.
So that point was when I started to use my design brain with all the modalities, because I've always been into like what makes life worth living. And then like, you know, peak performance and success mindset and all the different tools. So I brought it all together, the alchemical process, plus how to turn like your traumas into soul gold. Because as I was growing, I would say from a high performer to a peak performer, and then also coaching people through and like seeing that it's those unconscious patterns or self-sabotage that it gets in the way, that's when it's like, okay, there's these traumas or just these limiting patterns, mental, emotional things weighing you down or holding you back. So how do we turn this into gold? Because that's when you're going to start to be your true authentic self.
Amazing. Wow. And the first phase, you said the black phase?
Black phase.
Is that just like a hardship, like something really difficult happens to you? Or is it just when you're unconscious? Or
okay. It's like the dark night of the soul, or when life serves you something really hard or traumatic, right? Right. Like we were just talking about, it's the pain.
Yeah.
And this is where some people can get stuck in not wanting to go into the pain, but the pain is actually the pathway.
Yeah.
It's the catalyst to get you to change, or, you know, maybe something hard happened to you. Like there's a potential superpower that you could develop by learning how to work through that pain. But yeah. That pain is the portal, is the way.
So we need the pain in order to reach that final phase.
Yes. Okay. That's the first phase. It's the metaphor I give. It's like walking through a dark forest. Right? Mm-hmm. Dark night of the soul. It's like walking through a dark forest and you don't really know where you're going. And then the second phase, the white phase of alchemy, is like when you start to climb the mountain. And like eventually you get above the trees. And then if you keep climbing the peak, you'll get above the clouds. And then you'll like see the sun, the like remember your divine nature. And then it's about right. bringing that back down the mountain, back into ordinary life.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in that phase right now, the second phase. Because I went through some very, very hard things in the past year, like probably the hardest ever in my life. But now I'm starting to see the other side. And starting to see like my true purpose and why it all happened. But I think when we're in the moment and we're in the thick of it, we can't see the bigger picture sometimes.
Nope. You're in the forest. You're in the dark forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's part of the journey. It's part of the alchemical journey.
Exactly. So just,
that's your, it's like the, if you ever see the hermit, if you're into tarot cards, right, the archetype of the hermit, he just got a little lantern. Like you're only focused on what you could get through in that moment. And that's right. Okay. It's part of the journey.
Yeah. Like what's right in front of us, but we can't see exactly the forest or the trees. Exactly. Yep. Wow. Okay. So interesting. And you said that you've realized traditional success can still leave people unfulfilled. What did that look like in your own life?
Yeah, it was, there was a point where it was like, wow, I'm living in San Diego. I'm doing the coaching. I found my Dharma. And there was still moments of like, catching the negative thoughts really pop in and like not just like receiving to some regard, like everything. So it was this moment like, oh, wow, you could have all the things and like you can be like, wow, I'm living the dream life. And then there's also a phase. This is some people don't have the fulfillment along the way. Right. Yeah. Since I like to like tie in even more, like why alchemy meant a lot to me was at no fault of their own. My parents divorced when they were 3 or 4.
When you were three or four.
Yeah, that would have been wild. Yeah. So during that, going through my own, you know, process of transmuting trauma into gold, I realized, oh, that left me feeling powerless and voiceless. Mm-hmm. Right. So finding a profession, it doesn't even have to be a profession, actually, finding a way of being in the world where I get to help people feel empowered while I explore powerful tools of transformation gives me gold. And there's some people who, back to the golden handcuffs, don't even go into their unconscious patterns yet because they're just doing what they need to do to survive, right? Or they think is right. So
what they were told.
Exactly. And then this is great because there's some behavior adaptations that can get you what you want in the physical game, right? And material success. Mm-hmm. But those are the people who get there and then don't have the fulfillment along the way. But like going downward into yourself on that inward journey. So it's also just getting to a place where like, wow, you could have all the things. And then there's still these like, you know, negative thought loops or like just getting stuck and like what's going on. So going through that process again of what are you like the awareness within yourself? What are you here to do? But also, what do you want to be committed to? Like, what do you want your life to be from this moment on? It comes back to alignment.
Exactly. Yeah. Amazing. I have gone through all of this. Yeah, I think like a lot of people are just living very unconsciously, right? Like if you look around at like just the average American person, like, or anyone, right? They're just kind of living empty lives in a lot, like unconscious lives rather. Like they're just kind of going through the motions again with the rat race, whether that's, you know, working some job they don't like just to pay the bills, or I don't know, just watching football, or like just doing a lot of consumerist unconscious things, social media, absolutely. And living this very unconscious life. And I was doing that basically up until recently. Like I said, like I started studying Kabbalah, getting more like, because I went through this pain, which is also very similar to Buddhism. Like they talk a lot about, you keep mentioning like your Dharma. Those are very similar concepts. It's just like your soul's purpose, like what you're here to do and how you can bring light and spread light in the world. And I think a lot of people are just not even aware of it. Like they're just living very unconscious lives. And maybe like, so I think exactly, like it's so interesting to me, just like I'm kind of going through everything that you're saying in this alchemy process currently, of the only reason that all this happened to me was because of this massive pain that I went through.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a lot of people only get to this stage through pain. Is that correct? Or like, do they have to experience some major shakeup or some major form of pain in order to even be aware that they're living this unconscious life?
I'd say that's one of the biggest catalysts, because us humans love our comfort zone. So we need a lot to get us outside our comfort zone. Now, there's, I'm blanking out on his name, but there's and it's like a Japanese term. There's the way of waiting for that, but there's also choosing growth. So I'll say, anybody has the possibility to choose growth in the moment, right? You don't have to wait for the catalyst. Now, the first phase of alchemy, they tie in elements with every phase. The first phase is fire. And if you do know tarot cards, it's the burning of the towers, so like burning of the buildings, right? So it's like the fire coming to burn away something that you thought was
path.
Yeah, path, or even just like just truth, right? Like, oh, I thought I was going to have my parents for the my whole life. And then it just, oh, wait, no, we're all mortal beings. Like it could be taken away at any moment. Right. Yeah. So it burns down something, a belief system you have that's not true, that will like bring it back to truth. And that's something too, that, you know, if you're unconscious and there's no like level of like better than in this frame, but like if you're unconscious, you're living other people's belief systems, because you never examine your own belief systems. So
true.
The catalyst is beautiful because it gets us to move. And if you're listening to this, you're like, I don't want to be a puppet on other people's belief systems, BS. You can choose transformation in this moment, right? It's like the fire of divine transformation, like can be a choice as well, a conscious choice.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be that they experience some major pain or major trauma for all this to ignite. Okay.
But that is one of the biggest ignitions.
Makes sense. Yeah, makes a lot of sense, because like you said, we love our comfort zone, we love our comfort. I think there's just so many people, I mean, I'm thinking of just people I know who want to do, they want to do the same thing forever. They don't see any issue with that. They don't see any need to grow or change. They want to do their same routine basically for the next 40-50 years. And for me, I like can't fathom that. Why would you want to stay the same forever? And I think the biggest thing for me with this whole journey that I've been on is this concept of certainty and uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot of comfort in the supposed certainty, right? Like people want to know like what's going to happen tomorrow. They want to know what 10 years is going to look like, et cetera. They want some sense of certainty. And the uncertainty is terrifying for people.
Yeah.
But once you start to practice it and be uncertain and be uncomfortable and put yourself out there not knowing what's going to happen, that's how you really grow, I think.
And in my experience, that's true freedom, because we're talking about like the path from like living in the survival based, I'd say, ego or personality self versus like the soulful perspective. And if you understand like, oh, just the ego is wired to survive and then be what it's like, be right about what it thinks it's right about or who it thinks it is, like, okay. And as you go to this journey to uncover your soul and like embody more of your highest self or soul, like your brain is wired to survive. So it's going to focus on where like predicting the future, where the truth is. We don't know what's going to happen a year from now, you know, or a month. We don't even know what's going to happen in 2 minutes. Like our brains make up, oh yeah, it's just going to be the same. I don't know. Aliens, fireballs, like anything is possible. Like it could, you know, anything could happen.
Yeah.
And if you get into the spiritual side of things, like there is only the now. right? The past and the future is just like something that lives in our minds. So if you can come back to that place, like uncertainty, it can be like riding the greatest wave of the cosmos if you can relax into the uncertainty and the unknown.
Yeah, so true. Exactly. And like a lot of it is out of our hands. It's up to God, the universe, whatever you want to call it. It's all, you know, so much of it's out of our hands. Like we want to control the outcome of everything. We want to have this like, if I do X, then Y is going to happen. But we don't know. Like it's totally out of our hands. And we can, you know, do our part and make sure that we're living our best life and becoming our best selves, and help others and help, you know, share that light and spread the good. But so much of it is out of our hands. And so anyone who thinks that like there's certainty is totally wrong. I mean, we can't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Okay. So what made you decide to write the book itself, The Alchemical Journey?
Yeah, it was really for clients that went through the one-to-one journey I created. So I created a 2.5 day experience where I walked them through every phase of the alchemical journey. It was a metaphor of climbing a peak state of consciousness and also utilizing some altered states like breath work to go through that process of transmutation.
Amazing.
And with that, like I'd have a full integration booklet, but this book served as like the opposite, like the feminine storyteller creative aspect that I could also share with other people, because now I'm working at Novus Global. Not doing that specific thing as much, but now it's like a gift for people to understand the hero's journey and what it looks like to go to that journey to uncover your authentic self.
And basically, because you went through this process, now you want to share it with others. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Okay. And that I took people through this process. And it's just, you know, the first time I did it, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. But at the same time, it's like, no, like dummy, like these alchemists have been studying the pattern of transmutation or transformation. It's this pattern of transmutation of taking a lesser item into its highest potential. Like, yeah, it's going to work if you really follow the pattern. Because they spent their whole lives dedicated to understanding that pattern and sharing, you know, notes on that pattern.
Amazing. Yeah. Wow. So that inspired you to write the book because it paired with your, like, what did you call it? Like a retreat? Is it like a 2-day process in person that you would do with your clients?
Yeah, people would fly in and stay in San Diego. So
wow,
it was a 2.5 day, I'd call it intensive, but I called it an experience when people went through it. And amazing. I would just call it the alchemical journey, but it was going through the 7 phases of alchemy. And the first phase is the fire, the tower card, like burning down the limited beliefs. Pain. So that would be a pre-session. We'd spend 2 hours before even they fly out of getting to that root limited belief and then starting to break through that. And then when they get out here in person, right, we go through dissolution, which is dissolution is water. So that's a symbol for emotions. So when you get to your core limited belief, you're going to have these emotions that are tied to it, often repressed, and you start to release those and you honor them by feeling them. And that's how you get to release them, which alchemists, fun fact, called tears the holy water, because it's the breakdown of your crystallized beliefs and emotions. So from there, we'd go into a breathwork journey. And that's such a great practice when you do it for 40 minutes to an hour of like releasing a lot of that deep-seated stuff.
Yeah.
And also opening up to altered states where like memories or messages can come in. And then
those that don't know, by the way, I know what breathwork is, but maybe for the listeners that don't know, do you want to elaborate a little bit on what breathwork is?
Yes, breathwork's a big category. So my distinction, breathwork journey. Which means you're going to be breathing deeply for 40 minutes to an hour. And you typically, I would recommend having like a guide with you too. So this is when you just breathe so much that your default mode network, your conscious brain shuts down and you get more access to the subconscious and your body can release a lot of stress, but you can also have a psychedelic experience. Possible.
Usually euphoric, right? Like it's usually, I mean, I know there's different types of breath work. Like there's trauma specific breath work. There's like euphoric breath work. But from what I understand, usually people don't have like a horrible time on it. Like they usually have a positive experience afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you're always going to release stress from the nervous system.
Right.
Now there's opportunity for deep seated memories in your subconscious to get brought up to the surface. But if you're walking the path of self-discovery, like that's just the next thing for you to work on. So it's actually a gift. But for some people, like you get a room of, you know, 40 people and there can be somebody screaming, there can be somebody crying, there can be somebody laughing, and then there can somebody that looks like they're asleep. And it's just everybody has a different experience.
Right. There's like physical sensations from it. And then there's the like subconscious. It's very cathartic, right?
Yes.
Like release.
Yeah. And it's something if you ever considered, you know, you start to go down the, I don't always call it healing, but the healing path, I just consider it self-discovery. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you consider psychedelics or some altered state modalities. Like breath work to me is always the gateway, the foundational one, because like your foot is on the gas and brake. So if it gets overwhelming at any point, you get to slow down your breathing and you're going to come back into your body.
And why is it like that? So breath work is effective because of what, like what, how are we storing? It's like we store trauma in our cells or something. How exactly like does that work?
Yeah. In the fascia. Okay. So it's energetically opening you up and also the body. So partly like with the conscious protectors, right? Not operating, you get more into the subconscious. And then whatever emotions, which is like energy and motion. So emotions aren't meant to be tucked away and repressed, which I was really good at when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And this is where they can create. Now we're finding out that it can be in the tissue. So like the fascia holds that. And really to get deep for a second, like what we want from a spiritual standpoint is our natural essence to flow through. And like for that to just be a clear channel, and to use my good brother Idan Shibzir's example, is like what happens is we get these rocks, and these rocks are like these energetic blocks. And this is where, for example, it could be a limited belief, or I'm not worthy, right? Something happened as a kid, you just take on this belief, I'm not worthy because of yada, yada, yada. You're a kid and you don't know better. We're human. We all have our own version of this.
Usually it's like from experiences or parents or external forces. Yeah.
Yep. So you have this rock. I'm not worthy. And what happens is because that's a subconscious thing, like it's like a river and you throw a rock in the river. And then when the water hits it, there's splashes. And these are the negative thoughts that pop up, right? You go have a talk with somebody and like you get really like anxious and nervous and you don't know why. Well, that splash of thoughts of I'm not worthy got activated.
Right.
So really you're learning how to clear these energetic channels, which is work going through that self-discovery process. And then that's when your true authentic self just gets to flow freely.
Amazing. Yeah. So you were getting, I know we like went on a tangent just now about breath work, but you were talking about the alchemist journey and like all the steps. So you so you do this like retreat for 2 days where they learn about their limited beliefs. And you said even beforehand, they do like some work on identifying those beliefs. You said they do like 2 hours of work. And then what exactly did they do when they come to San Diego with you? Like they do some breath work, obviously, as we've discussed. But what else, like what goes into the rest of the process?
Yeah. So the next process is separation. And this is this is when we would walk to Sunset Cliffs and I'd give them a weight symbolizing the lead and like tell people. As they go on this walk, they do it silently and they're holding this lead, which we've uncovered is their deepest mental emotional wound. And that's what we're going to turn into gold. So they carry this lead and I just like to use the frame of the hermetic and like alchemist kind of point of view of like we have a physical body, a mental body, emotional body, and then you could say a spiritual body. So like think about how it's weighed you down, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and how you've been carrying this. And then we go to Sunset Cliffs and we do a version of a despacho ceremony, which is when you take an offering and you give it to Mother Earth. In this case, we also do a Ho'oponopono prayer, the ancient Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness, and we do it to Mother Earth. And then at the end, throw the lead in. So we're separating the dross from our being. And for all the listeners, the reminder is Mother Earth is more than happy to hold all of your pain. Like your pain wasn't meant to be held onto. It was only meant to be experienced and like learned from. So if you like she will ground your pain happily, right? It's like our bodies decompose and is the fertilizer. So it's like the fertilizer for new. So you can just go out and just ground with Mother Earth and like even you're going to come back to presence, right? Or you're going to come back to whatever. So you can give this offering and reconnect with Mother Earth, which is typically one of the most impactful parts for people because we just get so caught up. We forget that without the earth, like we don't get to experience life.
So true.
I also tell people like all 75 trillion cells that make up your body. That's the only reason why you get to have this experience. Right. And then because of the elements, the five elements of earth, water, earth, water, fire, and
air.
air. There we go. And like, that's why we get to have this whole experience of the cosmos. So like you are a being of starlight and stardust, you know, connected to the divine energy of creation, aka love, and infinite intelligence. So you are a powerful being, and you're not just who you think you are in this personality egoic self of like limited version, right? You are so much more than that. So that's a big part of day two.
Wow. So they carry these, like you said, it was lead or like rocks or something, and they release it into the ocean.
Yeah, it was originally rocks, and then there's these little weighted vest things. Another story.
Oh, okay.
For another day, but
so it's just like the symbolism.
The symbolism, and you can do this by digging a hole too and putting something meaningful into the hole. But just that giving of like, I'm giving this physically, and I'd have them releasing. Like, visualize as if they're putting all their energy of that pain into that as they're creating that intention around it.
That's so cool. Wow. I love that. Did you have you found that a lot of it comes from childhood wounds, like childhood trauma?
Yeah, that's when we take on our behavior adaptations. You could also call them winning strategies, because that's just what we had to believe about ourselves to not hopefully feel that pain in the future. And then that becomes who we think we are.
So interesting. Yeah. I'm doing a lot of that now, like with therapy and breathwork and all these like healing modalities. Because one of my biggest issues, and I think for many of us, is just like our childhood wounds affect us so much as adults. And we don't even realize it. And it's so much of it is just subconscious for so many years. But like, yeah, so now I'm trying to do like a lot of inner child work, healing my inner child. And I feel like it's affected me so much as an adult in all my relationships and all of my like patterns. Yeah, like you said, those limiting beliefs, at least for me personally, really came from my childhood. But I imagine for others, it's probably quite similar.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is where I like to remind people, because it could be like, oh, man, all that stuff I went through, like you also develop some type of superpower during it. Right. Because your winning strategy, like you showed up, it changed to how you beat your behavior. So like there's also superpowers with it. And then it's just, how do you not let that pattern like hold you back from what you want to create in the future and loving yourself, acknowledging that. So that's where when they come back, then it's like a heart opening kind of ceremony. And it's like internal family systems, it's inner child, it's inner higher self or inner king, and like bringing all those parts in, and then most importantly fully accepting your whole story. And then when it comes to like people like parents, you can do this work, and then you can be like, I can't believe my mom and dad showed up like that. And it's like, yes, and like, let's come from the awareness, right? If we're going to be powerful beings and free, let's acknowledge they did the best with what they had and what they knew. So we're putting a label of what we think is right with being a parent, expectation versus just accepting them for who they are and the gifts that they give, you know, have given you, even if they were hard. Even if it was traumatic, since you're on this path, it was actually can be your greatest gift, your greatest gold.
Exactly. That's a lot of what they say in Kabbalah as well, that like all the hardships are there to help you become your best self. And you should actually be grateful for the pain and be grateful for these hardships, because they're shaping you and molding you into becoming your best self. Yeah. But yeah, it's not always easy to see it in the moment. The moment you're like, why did this happen to me? This is so unfair. But ultimately, you know, it's happening for you, not to you, right? Like it's happening for you to become your best self. Amazing. Well, talked about like what the alchemical journey is, right? Like is it essentially just like those three steps that we talked about?
Yeah, so it's like about it of three phases and then like seven steps like in those phases.
So the three phases, it's the
black phase.
The black phase, right. Seeing the forest through the trees, like when you're in the darkness.
Yes, getting in touch with the unconscious parts of yourself and acknowledging there's you know, forces of chaos that are just part of the cosmos too.
And then the second phase is when you're kind of like climbing up that mountain, you said?
Yes. And getting to the top, and it's like the enlightenment, right? You get glimpses of your higher self. You get glimpses of what's possible for your life. You get glimpses of how there was actually growth or beauty in the trauma that you went through, or you get connection or glimpses to a higher power.
Amazing. And then the third phase is, you said the king and the queen, right, like the masculine, right, feminine.
Yes.
What was it called again? Sorry. The third phase?
This is the red phase.
Red. Okay.
So
it's black, white, and red?
Yes.
Okay. And the red is like when the masculine and feminine unite within us?
Yes. So another way to think about this when it comes to limiting beliefs, like you've showed up in some pattern your whole life. of some certain way, and then you break through, and then there's usually the opposite missing. So I just mm-hmm. took somebody through a session recently, and you know, her core thing was I don't matter. So mm-hmm. from a place of I don't matter, and also grew up in a lot of like scarcity and just survival based living, like play wasn't something, like play is totally foreign to her. Right. Wow. So her opportunity in breaking through now is like, how do I bring this into balance, this once constraint, by embracing play, which for her is going to be really hard at first. It's going to be like, I don't even know where to play. Like, I just go blank. Like, I don't even know what to do. So it's finding that opposite. Maybe as an example for listeners, like, you're like, what are you talking about? Masculine, feminine. Think of masculine as like the do or create or like, you know, getting into future vision and like creating that. Whereas the feminine is the one who's being, creativity, like just feeling. Moment, feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Where the male is like, or the masculine is like the consciousness, like head. So also too, are you a doer? Or are you somebody that just kind of natural bees, right? Are you like a type A, I gotta go? Well, their mm-hmm. growth opportunity is to actually learn how to be so they don't burn out. Or if you just be, like, okay, you need a little bit of structure and discipline to go create what you want to create out of life. So it's bringing these parts back in. Oh, wow. And we all have masculine and feminine in us, even though we are typically polarized in one. So it's just bringing that in balance so you can go create the life that you want.
Amazing. And when it comes to like applying this to real life, you know, real life setting, how do you use alchemy as a framework for growth? And what does it teach us about transformation? Like, let's say you're working with like one of your coaching clients who's, I don't know, some executive in some corporate company. How would you use that to help them grow?
Yeah.
Or just in general? It's a big question.
Well, when the executive coaching gets connected, it's like, okay, the mm-hmm. vision is where we're going. So what transformation in the mind, and then of who you, of your being, from like a way of being in life, do we need to transform? Because typically we'll get focused on what do we need to do, right? Yeah. And there's this model of be, do, have. So if mm-hmm. we get focused on what we need to do, or like what we need to do, and then that's going to lead to the having, the outcome. Yet the deeper transformation is coming back to we're beings. So from a state of being, who do you need to be that having like will come natural because you'll just do the things. Right. So if it's outcome focused, then it's purely about, okay, how do we disrupt the thinking that's getting in the way and the blind spots from getting to where you're going? And then if it's like true transformation, okay, well, let's sit in the deepest blockages you have, those rocks, from your authentic self just flowing right now. And how do we get to know those? And by bringing our conscious awareness to them, then it's just like, from there, it's just practice on overcoming them over time.
Wow. So cool. Love it. So you faced childhood loss, depression, addiction, and adversity. How did you learn to turn that trauma into gold and your pain into purpose?
Yeah, it's been part of the journey, but there was a big catalyst. And that was when bringing back up breath work. Doing my first breath work journey for myself was one of the huge catalysts.
Wow.
And I was in Sedona and I was with Anahata Ananda, and she was leading it. And there was a big group. It was this actually the original Fit for Service with Aubrey Marcus. And we're going through it and getting about halfway, and there's music going and we're breathing. And I'm like, I'm kind of going places, but not really. I still find a kind of feel here. And then this big man hand like places on top of mine. And I went straight back to the night I lost my father.
Oh, wow.
And for anybody who's lost somebody, like suddenly, like, you know, that just like, why? And then like, is this real? So that cracked me open. Like somebody saw me afterwards. They're like, how was it? He just looks at my eyes and like, I'm like, you know, still pouring down tears. He's like, oh,
wow.
And not saying that's going to be your case every time, but like, that's what came up for me in that moment. And as I went back to process, that's when I had the visual of, I grew up on a walnut farm. It was like a walnut that got cracked open, and the walnut was all the emotions I tucked down.
Suppressed.
And that brought all the energy up. So after that moment, I gave myself like 2 or 3 months to just have periods where I just like let the feelings come up, right? All that grief that like turned into lead and then like pushed away. And it was a little bit after that process that the question came up, what did you learn from this? And then shortly after that, the idea of soul gold came up. Or soul gold, I say, is the growth, lessons, experiences that you have that when you look on your deathbed, you look back on your life from your deathbed, like you're going to appreciate the most.
Wow.
So that's the big catalyst. It was like, okay,
breathwork.
How do we continue to transmute this everything that you go through into empowerment and gold?
Amazing. Yeah, that's one of the best ways we can help others, right? Because I think nobody's going to change if we try to force them. It has to come from within. It has to come from doing that inner work and reflection.
Yeah, and as you go in the healing journey, it's such a, because I've been there, like, you know, I got my wife and you go through a big transformation. You're like, I'm new and like, you should do this too. And then they're like, okay, like, first of all, I've known you for so long. I don't believe you. Second of all, you're telling me that I'm not okay as I am and I need to go do this thing. Yeah. First, like I give people a reminder, you know, the alchemical journey going up a peak and you come back, it's about embodying it on Monday morning. And then you're creating space for people to see that transformation in you that then inspires them to want to do it. Otherwise, like you said, you're going to get pushed and then you're just going to get pushed back. It's the same with the negative thoughts.
Yeah, so true. And all those little forces, like you said, like, the negative thoughts can just, like, I don't know, derail our growth and our progress.
Yeah.
And what's been the most defining moment of your life in shaping this work?
Ooh, just uncovering the alchemical journey has been the most defining moment. And it's been this, like, this golden thread I pulled on a lot of my life, right? Like, where I realized I asked the unconscious question, why is life so painful? In high school, I was selling t-shirts and there was going to be this brand, Golden Lifestyle. And like, Golden Life always stood out to me. It's the name of my LLC. And like, it always reared its head through like my whole life. And then it wasn't until I discovered alchemy. And my tattoo sleeve tells the story of alchemy that I was like, oh, no wonder it's Golden Life. Like, we're taking the lead and turning into gold. So it's a mix of like the steady pulling on threads of things that don't make sense. And then you kind of forget about it, or I did. And from there, like those big catalyst moments, a lot of them that I shared, and then just other awakening moments that it's like, okay, there's power in the universe and intelligence that's much bigger than me. And then you have those own experiences as you go through your growth. And that's when you get to settle into the unknown and not be so scared about it. So it's like, there's some big catalysts that come along the way too.
So true. But it has to happen for us to realize it, I think. Yeah. What about, you just mentioned the concept of like, why is there pain in this world? Did you come to any conclusions about that?
Oh yeah. Pain is a building block of reality, right? Of physical reality. My own perspective is we're timeless, boundless, energetic souls that come into form to experience growth and lessons. But pain is a building block of this reality. But the pain is the polarity that creates the beauty. This is where, like, the pain of losing a loved one, like, transformed me at 11, where I was like, you know what, like, you could get all the money, but it doesn't even matter, right? Like, money is this made up thing. Like, I was thinking about that at like a 12. Versus like that pain, now I could have a meal with just some of my best friends and just sit around the fire, and that could be the greatest gold because I've known the opposite pain. So this is where, no matter what you've been through, you have the opportunity to experience the opposite. So anybody that, like, I am in the dark night of the soul, I'm going through so much.
Yeah.
Well, beautiful, what you're going through, you have the ability to transmute, and you're going to appreciate and feel an insane amount of joy if you've been in despair. Right? Like, that potential is there for you if you keep walking the path.
So true. Like, the opposite level of the light versus the darkness. Exactly. I think also, like, the phrase, it's always darkest before the dawn, right? Like, it's always somehow, like, the darkest moments often are like right before something amazing is going to happen. Yeah, but we have to go through that.
Into white phase, right? Yeah. That's the light tunnel.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. Well, what is soul gold and how can people begin to uncover it?
Yeah, soul gold. So it's the lessons, the growth, the experiences that you go through. And in case you forgot, you are the only story in infinity of eternity. So, like, your story is sacred. So just like the whole theme we've been talking about, your greatest pains, which you could say is like mental and emotional lead, like that is your soul gold. Because only my own perspective, but if we're these souls coming into form, well, it's by learning how we're not love. And like learning our path back to love, that's how we get to know love on a deeper basis, which I believe is our inherent state, right?
So true. Yeah. That's what they say in Kabbalah as well, that like the universe wants to give us good, wants to give us the light, the joy, the happiness, but we're in our own way. And like a lot of the time, we're the ones like blocking it from ourselves. We have to learn how to receive the good, how to get the good. Well, you work with a lot of high achievers, so executives, entrepreneurs, leaders, etc. And even they get in their own way, kind of going off of that. What's the biggest barrier that you tend to see?
Okay, the biggest barrier from high performer to peak performer is the unconscious patterns. Because if you don't know how you operate, it's the whole know thyself. If you don't know thyself, both biologically and like your personality and kind of your default patterns, like they're going to get in the way. And then going from a peak performer, which now meta performance is another level, it's to acknowledge that you are always going to be blindsided to some parts of yourself. So that's where when we coach people to go beyond high performance, you know, the next level, it's the gift of direct feedback. And simultaneously, like, I'm committed to showing up in this way. And if you truly are, feedback is a gift. Where otherwise, if you don't go in the process, like, feedback could feel like somebody attacking you, right? But if you're so committed to the vision that you'll do whatever, you become whoever you need to be in order to create the vision, like, feedback is the gift that helps you transform to show up in the way you want to.
Amazing. Yeah, so true. I think a lot of people get defensive when it comes to feedback, but ultimately a lot of the time people are giving it from a place of love. Like they're giving it because they want to help.
That's the key thing.
Yeah.
When it's coming from love, we call it fierce advocacy.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's going to hurt because it's going to stir up your deeper patterns. But if you really are committed to showing up in a certain way or creating something, that fierce advocacy is going to call you up and call out where you're not showing that way, or at least their experience of you.
So true. Totally. So how do we go beyond high performance into real transformation?
Yeah. And I'm going to apply the meta performance model because that's what I was just talking about, going from peak performer to high performer.
Yeah.
And this is to know, like, as you go through this process of self-discovery, so our brains operate in a way where we're going to create certainty in the future by gaining evidence in the past. This is all to say, we believe that every leader vastly underestimates what they're capable of. And if I were to add, like, go underneath the hood of why, it's because your brain is taking the past evidence to predict what's possible for you in the future. So if you want to go beyond what you're capable of into meta performance, first, we need a vision that's so big that feels impossible for you. So if you're to remove all your filters, you have all the limiting filters of who you think you are. But if you remove those, like, what's that dream that would be so real and rewarding? And then it's having the tools to go live in commitment to become whoever you need to be in order to create the dream at hand.
Wow. Yeah. So, like, do you give them like step-by-step, like a step-by-step guide on how to do that? Or is it just uncovering?
This is where uncovering and when it gets into meta performance, like disrupting, right? Because we're all going to get in our own way, and also living in commitment. And then when you don't live in commitment, like, what was the pattern underneath that? That's the gold. That's the golden nuggets, right? There's some old pattern that's not serving you to where you're consciously choosing to go.
Interesting. So it's like removing those limited beliefs, and then they're able to understand their true purpose and act on it.
Yeah. And along the way, it's meta performance because it's metamorphosis.
Right.
So you're transforming, it's ontological coaching.
Butterfly.
So transforming on the deepest layers of who you are as a being, and then using that as the catalyst to go create.
Amazing. I love that because I think a lot of us are, well, again, when we're unconscious, especially, it's really hard for us to change our behavior. Like, we might want to change so badly. We might be doing something that we know is wrong for us, or we know we shouldn't do, and yet we still choose to do it. I think this part of it is how the brain is wired to crave comfort and to create patterns. But, like, in order to create a lasting change and actually change our behavior, it sounds like we have to go on a deeper level. Like, we have to really do it on the subconscious level.
Yeah. There's some pattern in your unconscious that you're just not aware of. This is where a lot of people get scared. And it's like, I get it. It's the unknown of yourself, but you're just shining light on these parts of yourself, right? So if you could just see it as that, you're just getting to learn more about yourself, and there's no reason to attach guilt or shame. It's just an adventure. Yeah. You're diving into the depths of your own being and finding the gold.
Who you really are.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. What shifts when someone integrates vision, mindset, skill set, energy, and strategy?
Yeah, that's meta performance in a nutshell, right? So working on what's the thrilling life vision, what's the mindset, aka who do you need to be in order to create the vision at hand? And then the strategy is what are the next things you're committed to, where a lot of us will like to make little commitments because it out of comfort, versus right. if you were to be bold and take the biggest, boldest action, you know, sometimes they say, oh yeah, that thing you want to do in 6 months. What if you had to do that in a week?
Tomorrow.
Oh yeah. Or tomorrow, even better. Yeah. Right. And then taking action, like actually going through, and then you develop the skill set and also taking ownership of your energy, which you could say spiritually, not so much a meta performance, but spiritually is like taking ownership of the frequency you're putting out into the world. And, yeah. and that's often the frequency you're going to receive back is what you put out.
Yeah. I had that with even doing this podcast, by the way. Like I wanted to do it for years and I was just like pushing it off and not, I don't know, too scared, I think. And often our, like I said, those moments of pain, those moments of clarity, they push you in a very powerful way. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm finally going to do this podcast. But our limiting beliefs definitely hinder us in a lot of ways and make us slower to act. Whereas if we can just do it, you know, and leave those inhibitions behind, we are capable of a lot in a short time. Awesome. Will you also guide breath work and altered states as tools for growth? How can people explore those safely?
Yeah, I'll come back. Go try a breath work journey is really the safest route. Because you're going to start to get to know that space. Now, the first time you do it, for those who are like new, your brain's going to get in the way as you start to sit down for the first time. You're going to be nervous. You're going to be a little bit scared. You're going to start breathing deep. You're going to be like, I hate this music. I don't know about this place. I got to go to the bathroom. I'm hot. I'm cold. Your brain's just getting scared because it's on the verge of shutting down for a little bit. Now, if you want to go something like the psychedelic route, beautiful, just really be intentional about the set and setting. And if you're brand new, like really do the research about where you're going.
Would you recommend them doing it with like a guide for both of those?
Absolutely. Do not go alone for your first time. That's right. Where, yeah, you call them guides for a reason. And you want somebody to hold that space very intentionally or almost ceremonially, like a ceremonial aspect. So that set and setting is very important, but having a guide with you, especially when you're new, is really like so critical for safety.
Yeah, I've done breath work a few times. The first time I did it was actually in Thailand in Pai. It was amazing. But like I was very scared. I was freaked out. I was like, am I going to have like a bad trip doing this breath work? Am I going to have, I don't know, like a heart attack or something? But once you release and just like let your brain take the reins, you know, like you can control it. As you said, you can kind of, if it's getting too freaky or if you don't like where it's going, it's still ultimately your brain, your thoughts. So you can shift it in a way, at least here and there. Awesome. Yep. And how do you think that the inner work and healing journey needs to change in our modern world?
Yeah, that's where, once again, like sometimes I like to track language, and I don't believe there's anything to heal about anyone, that we're all perfect beings as we are, like divine beings. So it's just self-discovery. And the big lesson I like to remind people about nowadays is like, hey guys, hey humanity, like we've developed the ability to go on a keyboard and type something into a computer and a robot can go create that in the external world. Like we did it. We mastered external reality. Like this is what we've been trying to achieve our whole lifetime and we're here. So the only thing left for us to do is to put a mirror in front of us, right? And to go inside, because it's by us all uncovering our internal belief systems that we're going to realize, oh, we're all humans. We're all in this together. And then that's where the fear and the separation and like limiting beliefs of who we think we are going to get brought up. And then you walk that path and then you realize there's a mirror behind you and it's an infinite perspective of, yeah.
But I feel like the power. The only way that the earth will, I don't know, like that, if you want to get like really deep and really philosophical, like we all need to become conscious and elevate ourselves for the world to be like healed. You know what I mean? Like there's so much darkness and evil and scary stuff in the world. And I always have these like existential questions, like why is all this happening? What's going on? But I feel like once we can all elevate and maybe go through this type of journey or any type of like spiritual work and self work, when more and more people start to do that, that will elevate the consciousness of the world. And I don't know, I feel like that's the true way for all of us to achieve, I don't know what, but happiness, I guess, like make the world a better place. at a large scale.
Walking each other home to awaken and remember our true source. And it is really dark, but it's also darkest before dawn. So in my perspective, I think we're about to hit a big elevation of like the whole collective.
Yeah.
And like hit another level of our conscious awareness. So this is all, it's humanity going on the alchemical journey because we've lived so disconnected for so long.
So true. I think especially during COVID with like all the isolation, physical isolation, especially now people are craving like realness and spirituality and healing and self-work, I think more and more in the last few years. So I agree. I hope we can all elevate together. Okay, amazing. So I'm going to do just like a short little rapid fire section. So just answer the next few questions with the first thing that comes to mind. So are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm actually a mid-lark, so.
Oh, midday. Okay, nice. What's a favorite book of yours that really changed your perspective besides your own?
Yeah, Four Agreements. That's the other one I would always hand out during the journey.
That's a good one, yeah. What is your go-to ritual before coaching?
Ooh, okay. I do some type of grounding. For those who are like deep into the woo-woo, now I like to.
I'm a little into the woo-woo. I'm not like so, but yes. Okay.
So we're just going to go really deep for a second. For all energetic beings, we're all beings of frequency, my perspective, more true than who you think you are. I'll try to tap into the energy and get a couple words or intentions of what they could use right now.
For each client, like before a coaching session?
Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
But also it's just shutting down the mind and just getting clear to be as present as possible.
Amazing. Very nice. What is one word your daughters would use to describe you?
Daddy. I think caring. I would hope to say fun.
Yeah, very nice. You seem like both of those. And what is the most adventurous thing that you've ever done?
Most adventurous thing? I'd say backpacking Europe out of college and just going through the all around the world.
Very nice. If someone feels successful on the outside but stuck on the inside, what's the first step toward transformation?
Yeah, it's the reason why I have this golden background, right? Not just the alchemical journey, but the thing is the gold you seek is already within you.
Mm.
So it's going on that journey and that fulfillment is by going internally, you're going to find that.
And what's the ultimate takeaway you want people to get from the alchemical journey?
Yeah. Once again, the gold you see.
What we just said.
And then also I'll say, like, this is one of the greatest times to be alive, even though it could feel like the darkest.
Yeah.
Just remember, like, there's so much beauty. And the more that you do this process for yourself, the more you become a light for others. And it's my belief that, like, putting out that light and that frequency is what helps others awaken. And if we can all collectively awaken, like, this is how we create massive transformation in the world.
So true. Love that. Well, David, thank you so much for this powerful conversation. For my listeners, where can they connect with you or dive deeper into your work?
Yes. If you want to read the book, The Alchemical Journey, you can go to goldenlife.com. It's also on Amazon. And then Amazing. My personal work is davidggilbert.com. And you'll learn more about the executive coaching I do there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. And thank you all for listening to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. We didn't save the world today, but we had a really interesting conversation about alchemy and how to find your true self and how to turn hardship into gold or pain into purpose. So thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who could use it in their life. And thank you again, David, for your time. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Absolutely.
And have a wonderful day.